The 55th edition of the Four Corners Podcast starts right now.
This is Carolina Basketball.
Black holding high, goes to Darty. Darty in the double team, gives it back to Black with 20 seconds left to play. Goes back to Michael Jordan, jumper from out on the left, good!
Michigan out of timeout. And Weber, front court, Carolina thought he'd travel with it. Weber, front court, Carolina with foul. He takes a timeout, they're out of timeout. Technical foul, technical foul on Michigan.
Now gets it away to Donald Williams, down the side to Stackhouse. Stackhouse streaking it on Park, rebound dunk is good, and he gets fouled by Park. Oh my goodness, what a dunk.
Brown gets it into Williams. Here comes Williams, front court. Williams on the drive. Gets it back out to him. Long outside shot. Short rebound. May! It's over! Carolina has won the national championship!
Felton ready on his second attempt.
That one is no good. They battle for it. Loose ball. Recovered. Marvin, he scores! 17 seconds left.
89-72. And how about them Tar Heels? They are the national champion.
Matthews off the mark, and this year the confetti is going to fall for North Carolina. They're not going to be denied this time.
From HeelToughBlog.com, this is the Four Corners Podcast featuring your host, Josh Marlowe. Hello, welcome to another edition of the Four Corners Podcast. We are powered by Carolina Electrical Services. Josh with you guys tonight. Anthony and I were trying to do this one over Zoom, but we were having some technical difficulties. So, no, Anthony, he has not been fired. He's just been put on administrative leave without pay for tonight's episode. So it's just going to be me. I want to walk you through a preview of Sunday's game at Georgia Tech, Carolina's first ACC game of the season, first game of ACC play under Hubert Davis. That will happen on Sunday following the big win over Michigan. But before we get into that, we start with the pod thought of the day. And if you can remember back to the other day, I teased we were going to have a special pod thought of the day. And look, I know we're a Carolina-driven podcast. We're not friends with the guys in Durham or the guys in Raleigh, but there are times that it's appropriate to put aside our feelings, our differences, and hear what some of the greats from those two schools have to say. As you know, if you're a college basketball fan, it is V Week at ESPN. ESPN does a fantastic job raising money, raising awareness for cancer research. We all have somebody in our direct life that we know that we have lost to cancer, is battling cancer. We know the terribleness of the disease. We know how much it hurts to watch a loved one battle whatever type of cancer that they're going through. And one of the best things that ESPN does for V-Week is they show the Jim Valvano speech from the 1993 ESPYs. And if you watch college basketball, or even if you just watch sports, you've seen the speech, because it's one of the most powerful, moving speeches probably in the history of professional sports or just in a sporting venue, hearing something like that. And so I'm going to play for you Jimmy V's famous line from his speech at the 1993 ESPY Awards.
To me, there are three things we all should do every day. We do this every day of our life. You're going to have, what a wonderful, number one is laugh. You should laugh every day. Number two is think. You should spend some time in thought. And number three is you should have your emotions moved to tears. Could be happiness or joy. But think about it. If you laugh, you think, and you cry, that's a full day. That's a heck of a day. Now I look at where I am now, and I know what I want to do. What I would like to be able to do is to spend whatever time I have left and to give and maybe some hope to others. Right? Arthur Ashe Foundation is a wonderful thing. And AIDS, the amount of money pouring in for AIDS is not enough, but it is significant. But if I told you it's 10 times the amount that comes in for cancer research, I also tell you that 500,000 people will die this year of cancer. And I also tell you that one in every four will be afflicted with this disease. And yet, for somehow, we seem to have put it in a little bit of the background. I want to bring it back on the front table. We need your help. I need your help. We need money for research. It may not save my life. It may save my children's lives. It may save someone you love. And it's very important. Don't give up. Don't ever give up.
And look, guys, we don't like NC State, but listening to Jim Valvano, I watch that speech every year. I make it a point during V Week to watch that. And I get goosebumps every time. It's a powerful message that is still almost 30 years later. It's still resounding. That's how you know how powerful it is. It's still meaningful. It still gets its point across. And so today, just listen to what Jimmy V said and apply it to your life, because there are things more important than basketball. And that's something that that was just a great reminder of. Now let's talk some basketball. Carolina coming off the biggest win so far under Hubert Davis. Now they got their first big road test of the ACC season. Of course, 20 ACC games now, so they split them up. Usually get an early one in December, and then later in the year, then it's all ACC games. That's because they didn't start with a game in November. So you do have an earlier ACC game than usual because you didn't open your season with one in Georgia Tech. They're not the same team they were a year ago, but they're going to be a pesky opponent come Sunday afternoon. They enter the season with a 5-2 record. They lost their season opener at home to Miami of Ohio, and they just recently lost the other night against Wisconsin in the ACC Big Ten Challenge. Of course, this team last year, led by Moses Wright, they won the ACC tournament for the first time, I believe, in program history. If not, it's been the first time in a long time. They made the NCAA tournament, lost in the opening round against Loyola of Chicago. They're not the same team they were a year ago. Michael DeVoe, though, is a guy. He leads the team in scoring at an even 25 points per game. Their only other leading scorer is Jordan Usher. And if you could go back to when Carolina lost at Georgia Tech a year ago, a big reason why was the play of him. He was kind of the X factor for that team all year. When he played really well, Georgia Tech played really well. It was a big reason why they beat Carolina, they beat Duke, and they eventually won that ACC tournament, was because of him. He's now second on the team in scoring, 14.7 points per game, and he's their leading rebounder at 7.7 rebounds per game, for a team that, as we've grown accustomed to since Georgia Tech, or since Josh Pastner got to Georgia Tech, they're not an offensive juggernaut. They make their ends on the defensive end of the floor. Kind of the opposite of him at when he was the Memphis head coach. Memphis, it was a team and a program that liked to get up and down. They were one of the better offensive units in the country. I guess the level of competition that they were facing at the time really impacted the way that he wanted his teams to play. Comes to the ACC, quickly realized, hey, we can't be competitive playing at that pace with the amount of talent that exists in this conference, a more deliberate pace. But it's been beneficial. After a up and down start, Pastner has proven to be the type of coach we thought he was going to be when he got to Georgia Tech, which is a guy that can make the most of that program and win. That last year was a good example. This year, they appear to be a type of team that if they snuck into the ACC tournament, it wouldn't be as big a surprise as maybe you would have thought entering the season, especially after they lost their season opener at home to the Miami of Ohio. For Carolina, they are 69-27 all time against the Yellow Jackets. Go figure. And in Atlanta, a tricky spot for Carolina, particularly under Roy Williams, but they got a winning record there, 22-15. Although Georgia Tech has won back-to-back games in the series last year in Atlanta, The year before that, they won in Chapel Hill, a game that they jumped out to a 30-6 lead in before Carolina rallied and cut it to single digits, but could not ultimately pull out a win. And yeah, and they have won three of the last five games because, like many of the mid-tier ACC teams, they get up for Carolina, especially if they get Carolina on their home floor like they did last year, like they're going to do on Sunday. It's usually one of their best environments in McCamish Pavilion, and it's usually a good measuring stick to see where they are at that time in the season. And that's where we'll begin, and that's where we will be again on Sunday. As I mentioned, this is an ACC opener for Carolina. This is the 69th season of ACC basketball. In their previous 68 openers, Carolina is just 55-13, guys. So that dominance has spread across the Frank McGuire era, the Dean Smith era, into Bill Guthridge, a short time period with Matt Doherty, and then, of course, the last 18 years under Roy Williams. This will be the first ACC opener for Carolina under Hubert Davis. And with a win in this game, Carolina would become just the third program with 2,300 all-time wins, joining other Blue Bloods, Kansas, and Kentucky. Well, we're going to take a really quick break. You're going to hear this week's ad from DraftKings, and I'm going to come back. Some more notes on the matchup with Georgia Tech. Give my keys to the game, and then, of course, we'll break down, or then of course, I'll give you my ultimate prediction before we get out of here for this edition of the Four Corners Podcast.
Football fans, I'm sure we all love an action-packed, high-scoring NFL game, but with the latest no-brainer from DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, you will be a winner once a single point is scored. New customers who bet just $1 on any team to score can win $100 in free bets. It's that simple. If Sportsbook isn't available in your state yet, you can still get in on the NFL action. Everyone can play for huge cash prizes all season long with DraftKings Daily Fantasy Sports Contest. DraftKings is giving new customers shots at millions of dollars and total prizes with their first deposit. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use the promo code TBPN. Bet $1 on any team to score, and you win $100 in free bets. If they score, you score with promo code TBPN this week at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. You must be 21 or older, New Jersey, Indiana, or Pennsylvania only. New customers only. Minimum $5 deposit and $1 wager is required. Only one per customer. Restrictions do apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Really hope you guys are taking great advantage of all the great offers I've been giving you over here on the Four Corners side of things, and for our sister podcast over on the Heel Tough blog side of things, which, of course, Anthony gives you all those great offers, promos. So make sure you get over to DraftKings Sportsbook, use that promo code, and get some extra holiday cash in your pocket to buy your family some big time Christmas gifts. So let's get back into Georgia Tech. And just some general thoughts of coming into this game for Carolina. You look back at what they did on Wednesday night. They held Michigan to just 51 points. They've held opponents to 53 points or fewer in back-to-back games for the first time since 2006. The 51 points they allowed were the fewest ever in the history of the ACC Big Ten Challenge. And it was a night-and-day performance from what we saw from Carolina. And against a marquee opponent, last time we saw them against a Power 5 opponent, they gave up big-time points to both Purdue and Tennessee. Purdue, it was a hard-fought battle. Tennessee, it was a blowout. They came back. UNC Asheville held them to 53, but it was a sleepish kind of type of win because it was 2 days before Thanksgiving. Not a lot of energy in the crowd. Wednesday night was different, though. It was a big-time crowd. It was a late tip, a top 25 team. Dick Vitale was in the building. Michigan and Carolina, they have a budding rivalry in the last couple of years. It's the fourth time in 5 years they have faced each other. Of course, they debate their history dates back to 1993 when Carolina got the best of them for that national championship game. And Carolina, their last four halves, they've held the opponent to 37% shooting or better. So it's how does Carolina build off of that performance? And look, a lot of it's going to be what you did the other night. It wasn't that Carolina did anything spectacular outside of the adjustment that they made doubling the post, which I think that's something that you will continue to see moving forward because Carolina's length was really a factor for Hunter Dickinson and the Michigan front court, Diabate. But it was really just more about the energy and the effort. The communication was there. You couldn't hear it because the Smith Center was loud, but you could see it. It was physical, pointing, directing, and you could tell the communication was where it needs to be. And Carolina still had some breakdowns defensively. A lot of that, you got to give credit to the opponent. Michigan runs as good a half-court offense as any team in college basketball. But everything was just better. They were more engaged defensively. It starts with Caleb Love on the perimeter. And so that was a big thing. They all fed off of that. The crowd was really a big factor because it wasn't just when Carolina scored, the crowd cheered. When they got a defensive stop, when they forced a turnover, when they got a blocked shot, the crowd was also engaged. And Carolina was able to feed off of that. And I thought that was really important. Also, they forced 13 turnovers in that game. Entering the game against Michigan, they were just forcing 8.7 turnovers per game. So they almost doubled that total in that one game the other night per average. And that's going to be the biggest thing for Carolina defensively. As I mean, look, you can defend the three-point shot really good. You can defend inside the paint really good. You've got to force turnovers. That's what's really going to be the mark of a really, really good defensive team. They've done a really good job forcing teams into bad shots, and sometimes those teams make those bad shots, and you live with that. But they've got to become more consistent, forcing turnovers, pressing the issue, and they did that the other night mainly with those double teams once the ball got into the post area because of the length. And that's going to be the biggest thing for Hubert Davis, knowing when to utilize the length, how to get the most out of it, and really become a force on the defensive end. And another thing that we're talking about, and it's growing more attention from Tar Heel fans, from the college basketball media, Kerwin Walton is not a big part of this team right now. Just 5.7 points per game, shooting is 35% from behind the three-point line. Carolina is getting away with that because you've got five different guys in double-figure scoring led by Caleb Love and Armando Bacot. He's still this team's best shooter. And I think the biggest issue that we could be running into is you could tell the other night the confidence isn't in Kerwin Walton. And so it's going to be imperative that Hubert Davis gives him minutes, and when he's on the floor, gives offensive sets that puts him in best positions to knock down perimeter shots. I'm 100% with Hubert Davis in terms of saying, hey, look, I'm only going to play you if you earn the right on the defensive end of the floor to be on the court. But he's still your best shooter. And while you're shooting over 40% from behind the three-point line, you're going to need him in ACC play to be a consistent contributor. And right now he's not. That needs to change. There's no better way, no better time to fix that than Sunday on the road at Georgia Tech. So let's look at the keys to the game for Carolina. The first thing I got written down is be ready to play. It's on the road, so you got to have a different level of energy and focus. Hubert Davis talks about the three P's, the preparation, the practice, and the process. Well, all that leads into being ready to play. It's going to be a lively crowd for Georgia Tech, but a Sunday afternoon, 3 p.m. start time, it's going to be a different vibe in McCamish Pavilion down there in Atlanta, Georgia. And look, the first time Carolina was on, we've seen Carolina in one true road environment, that was at College of Charleston. And while the College of Charleston isn't a world-beating team, that environment was definitely something for this team because for a lot of these guys like Love, R.J. Davis, Kerwin Walton, that was the first live crowd they've ever played in. And that was against a group of five opponent. Well, now you're going on the road in ACC play against a school that has had recent success against you. They usually know that the best time to beat you is when they get you in their home gym. So it's going to be there's going to be a vibe in the arena. Not saying that Carolina is not good enough to overcome a double-digit deficit like they did against the College of Charleston, but you don't want to put yourself in that position. And the last time we saw Carolina on the road, of course, was on a neutral court in that game against Tennessee, where they just looked absolutely lethargic. So come out ready to play. It's going to be a battle. It's going to take, like Wednesday night, one of your best efforts of the season to get a win. So come out with the right energy, intensity, and focus, and be ready to play from the get-go. Probably the biggest key to this game is to not let Michael DeVoe and Jordan Usher beat you. And the thing is that both of them are very capable of doing so. We talked about DeVoe earlier, 25 points per game. And so, look, he is their offense. The offense is going to run through him. He's going to initiate the shots that they do take. And he's going to be amped up to play. He has the ability to be a guy that simply takes over the game. And he's a senior. He's been here before. So he understands what it takes to play in these types of games. And what better legacy to write out than having a big time game against Carolina on your home floor. He's averaging 15 shots per game, 8 of them from behind the 2-point line. But he averages 7 threes, shooting 59% from behind the arc. So he's a very skilled scorer, can score at all three levels, three-point line, free throw line, and then, of course, anywhere from inside the arc. And then Jordan Usher. We talked about it earlier. His impact last year was a big reason why Georgia Tech beat them. And it was a big reason why they were able to finish in the top half of the ACC and ultimately win that ACC championship. He's kind of their version of what Leaky Black is for us, a guy that can do a little bit of everything. He's just more aggressive on the offensive end. As I mentioned, leading rebounder, hands out roughly 3 assists per game, averages a block, half a block a game as well. But those are going to be the two guys. You can't get beat by two people. You've got to make the other people on the roster beat you. And if you do that and they beat you, then chances are you're probably going to live with the result. Their third leading scorer is Rodney Howard, averaging 8.6 per game. Then you got Davion Smith averaging 7.8 points per game. And then Dallin Coleman at 6.9 per game. So the guys that aren't in double-figure scoring, it's a more balanced attack outside of DeVoe and Usher. So you want to try to make those other guys beat you. If you go back to the game against Michigan on Wednesday, they took Dickinson out of the game. They took Eli Brooks out of the game. If Diabite would have beaten them, they'd have lived with that. He started 5 for 5. He missed his last 4 shots, including an air ball. And that's going to be the type of recipe for success for Carolina. Take DeVoe. Or you can't take DeVoe and Usher out of the game. Limit their impact. Make the Georgia Tech team beat you. And if they do, you'll be more willing to live with that type of result. Last key to the game. I know we're coming off the best turnover performance of the season, where you only committed 6 turnovers. You need to value the basketball. It's a road game. A lot like Michigan, Georgia Tech is not going to want to play 70 possessions and up. Wednesday night's game was 64 possessions. Carolina scored on 32 of them with just 6 turnovers. The magic number for me is 12. If you can attain 12 turnovers or less, you would think with your talent, your depth, your experience, you have a really good chance to win the game. If you come out and you turn the ball over 15-plus times and you're giving Georgia Tech easy runouts, easy layups, and easy baskets in transition, you could find yourself in a dogfight, potentially lose your first game on the road in ACC play. But it's also the flip side. You forced 13 turnovers the other night against Michigan. Georgia Tech is averaging turning the ball over 13 times themselves. So bring that same intensity on the defensive end. And it starts with Caleb Love and R.J. Davis. You don't got to press to put pressure on the defense, but pick them up at the timeline. Pick them up 35, 40 feet away from the basket. Make Georgia Tech extend that offense and then make it harder to get what they want to get to offensively. And when that ball goes into the post, especially if Dawson Garcia and Leaky Black are on the floor at the same time and on the same side of the floor at the same time, double that thing. Make it hard to pass out of, get some turnovers, get your offense out in transition. Carolina's transition offense hasn't been a big part of their success this season because they've been really good in the half court and they haven't needed it to be. But I do feel like as the season grows longer, we want to see Carolina get back into being a transition type of offense, a transition type of basketball team. That starts with forcing turnovers and getting good layouts. So I'll go ahead and make my prediction for the game. Carolina enters the game, believe it or not, with just a 52.3% chance to win the game on the road. So the ESPN Basketball Power Index does think, you know, relatively highly of this Georgia Tech squad, despite that home loss to the Miami of Ohio. Of course, Carolina, just their second true road game. And the last time we saw them away from the Smith Center, they lost two games against quality opponents. I do think, though, Carolina will win the game. I'm not saying it's going to be like Michigan where it's a blowout in that second half. I do think it'll be a game that Carolina, though, does win comfortably because I do think the offense is operating at a high level. Caleb Love is coming off the best game maybe of his Tar Heel career the other night. I do think he can build off of that. You've got the trio of Armando Bacot, Dawson Garcia, and Brady Manick all contributing in other ways. RJ Davis has given you something. Leaky Black's been your most consistent defender and not killing you on the offensive end. I think Kerwin Walton will get more involved because every time Hubert Davis seems, energized to get a certain player going, that usually happens and usually good things do come out of it. So I do think Carolina will score their first ACC win of the Hubert Davis era, get back-to-back really quality of wins, which this team needed entering the month, as I do think they will take down Georgia Tech Sunday afternoon. Of course, that game will start at 3 p.m. over on ESPN2. Well, that's going to go ahead and wrap up this edition of the Four Corners podcast. But before I let you go, I do want to get you guys over to the website, HeelToughBlog.com, where I will have you covered with all things Carolina, Georgia Tech. There's a preview up on the website. Of course, there will be a recap up, as well as I continue to take you through the 2021-22 basketball season. As for the football side of things, Carolina, of course, the regular season came to a close a week ago. But Sunday, they do learn their fate about their bowl game. We will have you covered with the Carolina's bowl destination once that gets announced. Carolina did have two players enter the transfer portal earlier this week. Find out who they are and how that does affect the team moving forward. And, of course, National Signing Day, just under 2 weeks away. So even though the football season is over on the field for Carolina for the most part, Anthony's still keeping you covered off the gridiron as well. So get all that great football and basketball content over on the HeelToughBlog.com. As for the podcast side of things, you know where to find us. We're on the Basketball Podcasting Network. We do host through Megaphone, but we're on iTunes, iHeartRadio, Spotify, TuneIn, Google Podcasts, you name it. The Four Corners Podcast is there. Go ahead and give it a like. Go ahead and give it a review. Review me when it's just me as a solo host. Review me and Anthony when we're both hosting together. But most importantly, we want you guys to hit that subscribe button. That way you get every great podcast, every great interview that we'll do during the season, all of our great content right there in your podcast library. Well, that's going to go ahead and wrap up this edition of the Four Corners Podcast. I want to thank you guys for listening. And as always, go Tar Heels!